Amen. Everybody hear me? Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody on Facebook. Everybody on YouTube. This is Taylor Tabernacle Church. Amen. We are led by Pastor Jonathan E. Ford, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us get excited this morning. Now, I know people may be watching this on a different day on the tape. You may be watching this from somewhere else in the country, but I got to tell you right now, today in Philadelphia, it is beautiful, right? You got little spring days where there's a breeze. Sometimes a wind, but basically a breeze. It's sunny, right? And we can enjoy the Lord's presence. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to open up with our scripture, and then I'm going to go to our prayer. So I ask that we all stand, whether you're here in the sanctuary or at home. I'm going to be reading from Psalms 91. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Amen? Amen. Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2. And I'll just tell you from the Bible that I'm reading from, before it says it, it says, security of the one who trusts in the Lord. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We can just stop right there. Amen. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust? Amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Lord, we thank You for that rich Word we just read. Hallelujah. That if we could just trust in You. Hallelujah. You've got all the power. You've got all the authority. And You watch over us. Hallelujah. Lord, help our unbelief that we would just trust in You. Hallelujah. That all the cares and worries that have been trying to pull us down, that right now they would just melt away. Because Christ Jesus, we trust in You. Hallelujah. Lord, that You have the solution. Lord, that You'll handle the situation. Lord, that You will fight that battle. And all we have to do is be still and trust in You. Thank You, Christ Jesus. Thank You for that work. For You said what You're going to do. Hallelujah. And all we got to do is trust in You. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, people have been sick, but You healed them because they trusted in You. Hallelujah. Lord, people have been broken, lost jobs, but they're still here because they trusted in You, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, when we feel like we don't know which way to go, You got a word for us. That if we just trust in You, Christ Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank You, Lord, hallelujah. Cut through the circumstances right now. Cut through the situations right now. Lord, that we would just trust in You, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. For You said that's just what we need to do. Just trust in You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, for anyone who is out there right now that doubts, help them right now. Let them hear the word this morning and trust in you. Lord, for those of us who don't know what to say to that person, give us a word this morning and anoint our tongues to witness unto them, because we trust in you. Lord, anoint our speaker this morning, that the word that you have placed in his heart would be delivered unto us, that we would not only just be edified, but that we would trust in what we hear this day. For your glory, for your honor, not our own, but that you would equip us to witness to your glory, because we trust in you. Keep our pastor right now. Watch over our leadership. Continue to anoint them with the word, that we would all trust in you. Thank you, Lord, right now. Touch every single person who's watching this service right now. Right now, Christ Jesus. Thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's move freely this morning. So whatever's been in the way, just trust that he moved it right now. Amen. Whatever's been holding you back, trust in him right now. That when we hear this word, we will be set free. Right? Go look at Luke 4:18. He's setting us free. He's letting us see if we would just trust in him. Amen. Amen. Now we are going to be blessed this morning with one of our children of the church who's now a young adult, moved on, educated, but back to bless us with a song. Amen. Amen. Our sister Renee is going to come on up. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord, oh, praise the Lord, everybody. I'm just going to sing this small little song. It has a few words, and it's going to be repeated. And if you want to sing with me, you can. Oh, the glory of your presence. We your temple, give you reverence, so arise from your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your now fill this place. Oh, the glory of your presence. We your temple. Give you by our praise as we
Test, test, test. Okay, there we go. All right. Praise the Lord. You all trying to trick me with the mic early in the morning. Okay, that's all right. All right. Woo, all right. The Lord is good and he is worthy to be praised. All right. Oh, my, my, my. We've been traveling and running to get here a little bit from one end of the town to the other. And I think I know how to get over here, but you know sometimes how you say, okay, well, let me talk to the GPS. And sometime the GPS needs a GPS. But at any rate, we thank God we are here this morning. And I am just excited to be here, and I count it a privilege. This is not our first time in your presence, but I am glad to be here with you, first of all, because I get to see my dear friend and colleague in ministry, Pastor Ford. God bless you, my brother. And it's so wonderful to be in your midst, and thank God that you're recovering. Amen. Amen. Our Lord is a healer, and he makes ways out of no way. Praise the Lord. Thank God that he is who he is, and he watches out for us all. Praise the Lord. And then I'm also glad to be here because I get to hang out for a few moments anyway with one of my favorite cousins, if not my favorite cousin, Sister Barbara Deanne. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to talk too bad about you today, Cousin Barbara. I'm praying. This is the first, we've known each other all our lives, And this is the first time that she has ever touched my car. And she said, cousin, you need to be in there and all this. She said, I know it's hard to find park. I'm going to park your car. And I'm going to tell you, my heart, my mind. Yeah. But I said, Lord, this is your day. You know, you're going to take care of it. I know. And Pastor, you know, I take it that it's out there. You know, I'm trusting, you know, she came in looking at me with that face, you know, y'all women have a way of masking things, you know. So I'm trusting that it's out there, but that, and that it's in the same condition it was when I arrived. Amen, amen. But I do thank God for her and what she has meant through my life and with our family through the years. I tell you right now, love you, girl. Thank God for you and for her ministry and how God has elevated and lifted her up. Now, the last time I was here also, my dear mother, Aunt Margie, Barbara's mother would have been here, sitting here. And so we thank God that she is with the Lord and has joined so many of our own relatives and loved ones. And thank God that they are not dead, but they are alive. And we are on our way to where they are. So let's all be encouraged today. Now, you do know this is Father's Day. And it's also Juneteenth, okay? So that's why I pulled out the garb, okay? And so I want y'all to know we're celebrating it all. And I was on the phone briefly with another pastor that asked me, said, well, it's Father's Day. You got anything special planned? Well, I haven't heard. He said, no, nobody said anything to me either, you know. He said, did you get any gifts yet? I said, no, you know. I was in the dollar store yesterday. I know the Father's Day cards were 10 for a dollar, you know, and so I'm expecting perhaps that we might get one of those, maybe, you know. But, you know, we take it like we can get it, fellas, right? Amen, amen. Just thank God for life and for being alive. All right, we're praying for you as I hope you're praying for us. You may not know us. We're over in the East Germantown, West Oak Lane section of town, depending on who you ask, but sometimes folks want to be in a better section than what they're actually in, so they'll tell you that, you know, we live in this area, whatever. But trust me, we've got enough, just the same amount of sin and carrying on that's going on that side as what's going on over here. And so we need to be praying for one another. And we need to be working together. I wish we could work more together as the churches. And so we've talked about that in the past, and we want to see it happen. And hopefully as these numbers, you know, numbers up and down with COVID and all, and everybody's been trying to adjust. But hopefully sooner than later, at least the pastor's got to come on that side of town. And we'll see what we can do as far as some fellowship and some connected ministry. Because no one church, I don't care who it is, the size, the resource, no one church is going to save this city. We need the people of God. And I'm glad to see the young folks that are here today. God bless you. We have a future. And we need a present and we need a future. Because time is moving on. And thank God we're praying for them. And us too. We're all in the same boat. Pray that God would give us life and health and protection. And so we have a real work to do in these last and very evil days. All right. What time do y'all get out of here? I got to go to church too again. What time of service you lay up? My cousin said that it's on me. But see, I know, folks, I'm looking at you. You like, the pastor's not up here. The regular, all right, now, I don't know this dude. I hope he, you know, don't be up here, you know, don't be carrying on saying, you know. What do I have here? What time frame? See, now you don't want to say. Okay, I'll just look at your faces. Okay, I'll know. I'll find out. Okay, whatever you got, Bible device, whatever it look like, Genesis, if you will. Genesis chapter 36. Okay. Oh, my goodness. It's allergy, sinus time. So forgive me if I sneeze. If I sneeze, I ain't got nothing. Okay. It's just allergy time. All right. Oh, my goodness. Genesis chapter 36. Actually, I'm sorry. I mean 35. I'm looking at 36. I mean 35. Okay. Genesis chapter 35. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 16. 16, okay. Then they journeyed from Bethel. When they were still some distance from Ephrathah, Rachel went into labor, and she had hard labor. And when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for you have another son." And as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Benoni, but her father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And our text verse 18, and as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. I want to, for a few minutes today, talk about name changers. Name changers. All right. You may be seated if you can. All right. On this Father's Day, I want to encourage not only the fathers, particularly fathers, because of the unique position God has given us in the order of creation, in our homes, and so forth and so on, but all of us, really, as the church, to be name changers. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we are in a very unique place in our society and culture today. I do not want to offend, but I would like to make sure that we're set in order as Christians with the Word of God. Today in our society, there is a very deliberate and poignant attack on gender, on maleness and femaleness. We now no longer define gender in terms of how the Bible or even historically it has been done. Gender is now considered non-binary. And so whatever you are, however you were born, no longer has any particular hold or designation. You can be whatever you feel at a particular point in time. Then we also, along with that, there is attack on the Bible and on Christianity, often because the Bible and therefore Christianity is said to come out of a patriarchal context. The Bible does. It has a male-led society and home. And so some have looked in the Bible and they look at it and they see some of the messed up stuff that happens in family and home and some of the accounts and narratives that are in the Bible. And okay, we all kind of the same color here. Okay. From the white female standpoint, they are known as feminists. Black women who are of the same mindset are called womenists. And so from the feminist and womenist perspective, sometimes you will find the Bible denigrated because it says that it is perpetuating a negative connotation. It comes out of a patriarchal, man-led thing where men are downing women. And so without really understanding what the scriptures are saying, and let me say this, there are some negative things that happen, but God does, everything that the Bible records is not sanctioned by God. God records the truth and reality of what life is. But because it's in there, it doesn't mean that God is okaying it. And so we are wrong when we indict God or the Christian faith and say that God somehow is supportive of sinful behavior. That is not true. And so if you're here today and you go out and you're a Christian, and sometimes you feel ashamed, you know. I go to the barber shop for whatever reason I go, and I sit up in there, and I hear a whole lot of crazy stuff in our barber shops, you know, and people are talking about a whole lot of stuff, and you get into all kind of whatever, and it's not so. And I would suggest that we as Christians and as men, that we take the time to learn what our faith is really all about, and that we would be just as strong and passionate about who we are and what we believe as others are about what they believe. Don't just sit around and go, yeah, really? Oh, you might have a point there. No, you're wrong. And we can stand up for our faith just as much as somebody else can stand up for what they believe. The third thing I would suggest here is that I heard this a few years ago, and it disturbed me, Pastor, that there is a thought or a concept that we ought to stop talking about fatherhood or fathers. Because sometimes fathers may have not always been what they need to be. And so psychologists and sociologists suggest that perhaps we need to do away with the title father, fatherhood, because for some that brings up a negative connotation. And I understand mothers, fathers, because of our sinfulness, none of us are what we ought to be at all times. There's always failure, shortcomings from the pulpit to the door. But that's all the more reason why we need to heighten godly, biblical fatherhood. We don't need to do away with fatherhood. We need to raise it up according to what God has said. I don't care who you are. The fact of the matter is that God set it up, and we need fatherhood. We need motherhood. We need what God has made us to have. This particular text is interesting when I saw it and I looked at it. Here it is. It's a narrative in the Old Testament because God is trying to tell us, the Bible is a book of redemption and is telling us how God is processing and working in time and space to reconcile all things back to himself. You know, my name is James. My father's name was Wilson Willis Edlow. And so I was told that my father did not want me to be named after him because he felt he had all last names, Wilson Willis. Thank you, Daddy. I appreciate that. So what he did was he named me after my grandfather. My grandfather is named James. Now, I don't know where the middle name came from. I guess my mom came up with something. As, you know, the initial is R. It stands for Reginald, in case anybody wanted to know. Nobody cared. Okay, so James R. Edlow. And so I have two sons by God's grace. My older son is named after me. My second son, he is named after his two grandfathers. And so I was to tell my son growing up, you're an Edlow, you know, and being an Edlow means something. You know, I never told him exactly what it means, but I'm telling you, it means something. And I left it in their mind that it means something good, something positive. You got to be somebody to walk around with that name. Don't you mess up that name. Don't you trounce on that name. That's the name Edlow. And in our text today, Jacob, he is in the line of promise. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob has come full circle in this context in his life. You do know life is something that you cannot just peg at the moment in time you are in it. You've got to, sometimes we stop in the middle chapters of life, and we define ourselves by where we are at that point. But you have to realize it's a journey. You got to walk it by faith. You got to keep going. I don't know what chapter of your life you're in today, but please don't stop there. You're walking with God. God is with you. There is a full whole story, but you got to get the whole story. And so Jacob's life, if you checked out Jacob from the time he was born back when, you would have kicked Jacob to the curb. But now we see Jacob later on in life. Life is coming full circle after all the crapola. Can I say that word here? And all the crap that has happened in his life. Some of it has been his fault. And other has been put upon him. His life is now coming full circle. By God's grace, he is coming back now to the land of promise that he left so many years ago. He's getting back now. And if you read the context when you get a chance, there are three significant deaths that occur here. One, and I didn't realize this until looking at it, even preferring this. One, I didn't even know her. It's a person here by the name of Deborah. And Deborah is not that Deborah. See, you thought, no, not that Deborah. It's Deborah who was the nurse of Rebecca. Y'all know Rebecca? Rebecca was married to Isaac. And of course, Rebecca is Jacob's mama. And Deborah was the nurse for Rebecca. So she's an old lady by this time, and she dies. Then you have later on the death of Isaac himself. But in the text we're dealing with today, there's a significant death, and that is the death of Rachel. And Rachel, y'all know, I don't have time. I got to go. I'm telling you, y'all do know about Jacob's stuff, right? Real quick, and I know I'm going to leave something out, but Jacob, whose name really means trickster, supplanter, heel grabber, okay? And actually, the name James is a derivative of Jacob. And don't worry about that. But the interesting thing is that, of course, Jacob and Esau in the mother's womb, they were twins. Mama was wondering what was going on because they were always scuffling, even in the womb. And so when it came time for the birth, Esau came out first, but Jacob wanted to be first so bad that even in the womb, he was holding on to Esau's heel, trying to pull him back. And they were scuffling. You talk about sibling rivalry. You ain't never seen nothing than what was going on here. And Jacob, being the trickster and whatnot, along with his mama, because the family was totally dysfunctional. I know we don't have no dysfunctional families, and that's only in the Bible. But in the Bible, families were dysfunctional. And mama and daddy had their favorites. And their issues, you know, kind of spilled over to the kids. And mama, Rebecca, kind of favored Jacob. So she actually helped Jacob trick daddy into helping him steal the birthright from his brother. Y'all do remember, you know, because he couldn't have done it without mama. I said, that's a tricked up mama. I know. Listen, some of y'all are tripping over your tricked up people. We all got tricked up people. Don't let the tricked up people in your family get you off course. They are tricked up. It's true. You ain't got to gloss it over, glorify it, you know, try to think, well, they can't really be that bad. Yeah, they can be. They are. They really are. And it might be your mama. It could be your daddy. It might be your brother. It might be your uncle. Tricked up people do tricked up stuff, and we have tricked up family. All right? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Once I got that clear in my head, because, you know, we come from a generation where all the family business was hush, hush. Ain't nobody tell you nothing. But it was a great relief to me once I started finding out some stuff. I could go to church and relax. I could look at the other folk in the church. Everybody be trying to put on pretense. Everybody be trying, you know, and I'm like, man, I be laughing all the time because I know that you right here today is just as tricked up as I am. And so I just be relaxed, you know. I'm going back, you know, where I'm pastoring. You know, they're supposed to be real uppity people and stuff like that. And they know the Bible and all that stuff. They tricked up. Okay? And they really tricked up because you get the tricked upness with some self-righteousness tied in. You really tricked up. So I'll tell them I said none of this stuff. But I'm telling you, you'll be tricked up. But I sleep at night because I know I come from tricked up stuff. And Jacob was messed up. And he was trying, he tricked his brother out of his stuff. And his brother said, man, if I see you anywhere, I'm going to kill you. Don't let me. And man, they were fuming. Jacob ran. His mama said, look, get back to my people. And so Jacob ran back to mama's people. And when he got there, he saw a girl, and it was Rachel. He said, man, she is fine. I want her for myself, even though she is my second cousin. But that's all right. That's a whole nother story. That's something else that was going on back then. And so he said, I want her. So the daddy of the daughter, he may be older, whatever it was, but anyway, her brother, he was in on it. And you know him, old Laban, he was trickier than what Jacob was, because Jacob was a young tricky, and he was an older tricker. You know, the young people think they got stuff going on. Like, y'all think y'all tricky? Y'all ain't as tricky as some of these older folks tricky. And I had to learn that too, because old folks always talk about how terrible the young folk are, but I learned something. Some of these older folks were doing stuff I hadn't even thought of. And then they came along. It's all, anyway, Jacob, he ran into old Laban, who was the trickiest of all the tricksters. And Laban said, look, all right, you want her? You can have her. That's my sister. Let's make a deal. And so they made a deal and said, all right, you work for me 7 years and then you can have her. And so then comes the wedding time and you know, Jacob gets married. He said, all right, now I got my girl. I done worked for her for 7 years. She was worth it. It's time now. I'm going to get that girl. So they get married and they go into the hoopah. You know, and that's the marriage, that's the bed chamber, you know, and so they consummate the marriage. Jacob comes out early in the morning, a smile on his face, you know, he wakes up smoking a cigarette, you know, and he rolls over, hey baby, you know, and then he looks at, ah, it ain't Rachel, it's Leah. And the problem is, Leah, the Bible tried to say it nice, said, well, she was kind of weak-eyed or whatever like that. I don't know whether she was cross-eyed or whatever, but yeah, gangly, is that the word? She, you know, let's just say, she was facially challenged. Okay. And it was there was a problem. And so he said, man, you got to know what you're doing. I, you know, take it out. And what if he said, okay, I'm sorry. I said, you didn't know that we had a rule that the younger girl, sister can't get married before the older sister. Don't worry about it. I got a deal. Just work another 7 years and you can have them both. So Jacob did that. And the Bible said it was like as nothing, at least when he worked for the first time. Because, you know, he loved her. Because love was a crazy thing. Love make you feel stuff and everything. You know, anyway, he got married her, and now he got two wives. Now, some of y'all brothers say, whoo, boy, what a dude. He got two wives, two women. That's what they about, two women, two of them, right? I'm trying to tell you, the fact of the matter is, men, the fact of the matter is that one woman is really enough because they crazy. And so Jacob had to find, I ain't saying, look, my mama is a woman. My grandma, I ain't saying nothing. But look, I'm just saying, but he had to find that out. So we don't realize that because we just be, you know, man. So he got two and it seemed like everything's going good and it's fine, right? But then the two sisters were jacked up. How are you going to have two sisters? They married each other, but now they're trying to make, I'm trying to get this over, they're trying to make Jacob love them. Each one wants Jacob to love them more than the other. So now you got two sisters that are rivalries with each other and Jacob's caught up in the middle of this. It's a no-win situation for him. And so now they have a baby off. Because in that culture time, you know, they think, because I know that don't happen today. Women don't think that having babies will keep a guy. I know that don't happen today. But back then, they was thinking the same thing. If I have a baby, then the guy's going to love me more than the other woman. And so they get into the baby off. So Rachel, she tried to have a baby. Well, nothing happened. Leah pops off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Rachel gets mad. So make a long story short, when they stop having babies on their own, then they bring in, each one brings in their maid. So now he's got four women. Man, you ought to read this story. I'm trying to tell you, it is a trip. That's why I read my Bible. Y'all be sitting at home on your phone, looking at your phone all the time, looking for something salacious, TikToking and all that kind of stuff. You ought to pick up your Bible. You ain't never read nothing like it's in this book. It's the truth. I'm trying to tell you. And so they went through all that. And Jacob's good. And so Jacob, all his life, he was trying to get over, you know, he was trying to take advantage, do what he could do to make his own way. And he finally, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But the bottom line is that Rachel is dying. She died. And in the process of her dying, the Bible says she was breathing out her last breaths because she was having hard labor. She finally going to have that second child. And the text says that when she was dying, the nurse said to her, don't worry, baby, you're going to have this baby. It's a boy. But she was dying. And she breathed out in her last breath the name for the boy that was about to be born. She said, call him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow, son of my pain. Name him painful. Name him sorrow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you had to go through life named sorrow, pain? Every time somebody calls your name, you would be reminded that your mama died trying to give birth to you. Can you imagine that? You know, I don't want to give away my age here, but that, whatever it is, just remember Barbara's older. She looks better, but you know. My mom used to say to me, because I was born on a Sunday. I was born in November. All right, November 17th. She brought me home from the hospital on the 22nd, which happened to be the same day that JFK was assassinated. And my mom would often say to me, I'll never forget that day when I brought you home. I tell you, because that's the day JFK was assassinated. Oh, I'll never forget that day, you know, JFK. My God. And I'd be thinking like, dang, Ma, you know, like, if you brought me home on the 21st or the 23rd, are you saying that perhaps that could have changed history? Are you suggesting that you bringing me home had something to do with JFK being assassinated? And that's light compared to this. Imagine, son of my sorrow, son of my pain. You know, you got to be careful. Listen, you got to be careful even to your last breath what you say. You can never relax or think that you can just, because some people just say stuff. Stuff just comes out of their mouth. And you have no idea what you might be saying or what you might be doing or what you might be putting on somebody else. The mouth can give life or it can bring death. Many people have been destroyed emotionally, psychologically, by what somebody has said out of their mouth. Especially people in their own family. Some of us are still wrestling with something that somebody told. I have met people in the church. You know, people don't act the way they do for no reason. Hurt people hurt people. And I have met people. I met one day, she was hell. Can I say that in here? She was hell as a member. She was. And but you know, you listen to people and you find out, so why was she? Because she said she remembered as a little girl, a neighbor coming over and saying to her mom, you got such beautiful children, but what happened to her? Wow. I said, man, that's, I said to myself, that's deep. She was telling, she didn't mean it, but she kind of just started talking. And she was very successful. She had gone on to school, and in the context of the ministry where I was, she was one of the first people to achieve being a principal in a school as a woman of color and so forth and so on. She had a lot of respect, but a lot of stuff that she did was spiteful. And even her achievements were achievements to try to get back at people. You can be jacked up by what somebody says. You got to be careful. And you got to be careful. What, how can I say this? What you align yourself to be responsible for. Even on somebody's deathbed. It depends, you know, well, they said it and they wanted it their last wish. What depends on what they wish? If they wish jacked up stupid stuff, you ain't got to do that. If it's not according to what God has said or something that's fine, don't be holding yourself to that. Jacob, what if he had just let that go? He said, no, no. My second point here is that Jacob was a name changer. And I think we men and fathers, we ought to be name changers. Mama said, call him son of my sorrow. The daddy said, Jacob stood up and said, no, I'm naming him Benjamin. Benjamin meant son of my right hand, son of my strength, my favorite, he said. Mama said, you're a pain. You caused my death. Daddy said, no, no, no. You ain't going through that life with that name, son. I'm naming you Benjamin. He was a name changer. And I think men and fathers, We need to be name changers. Changing the names, the monikers, changing the context of our family, of our communities. We have within us the position, the right, the power, the strength, the authority to change stuff, even sometime over mama. I'm sorry. I've been married for quite a while. I love my wife, you know. But sometimes, men, you got to stand up. Even in your household. Even if the wife said, I ain't going to cook no food. I'll put it like that. I said something a long time, and an old man said to me, boy, you better watch that. Don't be saying that. You ain't going to get no loving. I said, oh, he dropped his head. I'm just saying, sometimes, men, there are things that we cow down to because of our fear of what may cost us. But being a man, and especially a man of God, means that sometimes you got to take a stand, even if it means you may lose temporarily. Okay, nobody said amen. I ain't trying to cause no problem in nobody's family. I'm really not. I'm not trying to cause no problem. I'm just saying, I ain't always right. But there are times I've had to say, look, dear, or look, sons. You know, sometimes they'll gang up on you. Sometimes you got to stand there on your own. You know? You ain't got to be violent. Now, man ain't violent. Don't ever go around hitting and beating and carrying on and being stupid and going to turn over furniture and acting like an idiot. That don't make you no man. That just makes you broken furniture. That you got to pay for it. But a godly man with the spirit of God. And you know, the realistic thing is that every woman really wants a man. Somebody who can she can count on to be there to stand, you know. And I want to give somebody, some man here today, some authority on God's word to stand on his word and his strength. You can be a man. You ain't got to cuss and fuss down anybody. Just say, hey, the spiritual leader in the home is supposed to be the man. You know, not our wives and women. A lot of times we leave stuff to them. Baby, you pray for us. Baby, you going to church today, talk to God for us on our behalf, you know. No. Jacob changed the name. Even though he loved Rachel, that was the girl he was after all the time. He loved her. But he said, no, baby, I'm sorry you're going. But I can't let you name my boy what you want to name him. I got to name him what I want him to be. I got to give him a future. Son of my right hand. He changed his present right then. The nurses and the family gathered together, heard what mama said. He's the son of my pain. He said, no, I want y'all to know right now, he's the son of my right hand. He changed his present. He changed his future. He changed his destiny by changing his name. Benjamin became a strong tribe. Do you know that the first king of Israel came out of Benjamin's tribe? It's surprising what you can do by just changing a name. Calling somebody something that somebody else may have called them negative. You can give a positive statement in their life and make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a people who have come from a history where we have been called by negative names. Man, it's Juneteenth. Y'all know what Juneteenth is about, I guess. What was that, in 1863, Abraham Lincoln reluctantly signed a document called the Emancipation Proclamation, which really did not free all the slaves, and he really didn't want to do it. If he could have gotten the Union to stay together without freeing nobody out of slavery, he would have done it. You know, he did call together some black leaders at the time, like Frederick Douglass, some of those folks, said, listen, first of all, could y'all black folks go back to Africa? And they said, no, we ain't going. They said, well, what are we going to do with you? Because y'all are causing a problem here. So he signed the thing, but you know, and in 1865, I think it was, down in Texas on the 19th of June, there were some folks that didn't know, some slaves that didn't know. And so the Union troops came in and said, hey, y'all been free to go for like 2 years, you know? And so that's why we got Juneteenth, because we were a people. We are a representation of an African diaspora. people who were brought here to be nothing but slaves, and they considered us such. We were no citizens. We were not meant to have any place or even a name. You know, I had the privilege at one point of going over to West Africa, to Benin, West Africa. And Benin, there's another area, but without all that, that's one of the gates out of which they would take the slaves. And I remember them talking about it, a man talking about how they would have to prepare the people, because it's not natural to be a slave. Something has to happen to your soul and psyche for you to become a prisoner and a slave. And so he said what they would do is they would take several days, locking them in the dark, locking them in a room. He said, oh, you could hear the howling and the wails. And they would make them go around a tree. They thought there was a particular tree. If you went around it and walked around it enough time, because what they wanted them to do was to forget their lives, forget their past, so they might be more willing to get on the ships and to go. You can't make anybody forget their families, their loved ones. So it never worked. And they said that some of the ships, most of the ships that left out of that port went to Virginia. And I thought about that because my family on both sides are Virginians. And all I'm saying is that we have to shift the names, the mindset, the concept. We still suffer from some of the pathologies that have been a part of our experience, even from slavery. A lot of this gun violence and stuff that we are doing to ourselves comes as a result of a mindset which we were taught to fight against each other. We could go on for a while with that. But we were not given names to be anybody. We got to shift that. Men, fathers, we need to be name changers. And it's not just about changing your name. I don't care. You know, that's my slave name. Look, I'm Edlo. That's what, you can change your name on the outside and still be a slave on the inside. You can change your name to Buku and be hooked on drugs. You know, I'm black, but I don't take care of my family. My children don't know me. I provide no covering. I do no positive thing. Culture. We need to change the cultural paradigm that shifted in our own community. I was riding down the boulevard last night. It happens all the time. You know, the window down. I mean, I understand. I like music too, but man, he's like, nigga. I'm a nigga. You a nigga. He's a nigga. She a nigga. Would you like to be a nigga too? You know? And I'm like, well, gee, my brother, you know, come on now. Now, anybody can be, I'm sorry, the N word. Anybody can be one, not just if you're black. I mean, you know, anybody, because that's just a negative connotation for somebody that's ignorant and don't know how to behave themselves. But that became a moniker for us. And we are the only group of people who take negative connotations and monikers and use them with ourselves and teach other people to call us the same thing. And who got us to do that? I'm all for that. Look, young men, young women, look. You need to stop referring to yourself. And you don't find no Hispanic folks going around because you might speak. No, we don't really want that to do that stuff. And we have to shift the culture. We got to change the name. Because if you call somebody something long enough, that's who they become in your mind, and that's who they become. How do we call our women? I ain't going to even get into that. And some of us don't mind because we act just like what they call us. And we'll do it for a momentary buck or for a little bit of attention. We got to change the cultural stuff. The systems that name us. Even in the family and friends and sometimes even the church. And sometimes you got to change the name you call yourself. Self-talk is important. It ain't no problem talking to yourself. Now, if you do it too much, they'll put you somewhere. But you need to learn how to talk to yourself. Because who you talk and say to yourself is who you become. Change the names, no matter what somebody has called you. Get into the scriptures. Find out who you are in God and say, even though they said this, no, I'm this. Jacob was a name changer. Trying to change the name. I got two sons. They live in this world. I keep trying to tell them, no, you're not that. Be better. My oldest son one time, he said, come on, Dad, man, y'all got to relax. See, that kind of stuff was grandma, my mom. You know, grandma, me, great grandma, that's y'all stuff. Y'all gonna hate that name. No, we done took the pain out of that name. You know, we done recaptured that name, the N word. And you know, now it's a name of positivity. I'm like, okay. So one day, Rev, he came home mad. What's he mad about? Some Indian guy had called him the N word. I said, what you worrying about? It's a positive thing, ain't it? They make you feel good. It's a terminal, right? You know, where you... How do we become name changers? I got to go. Hurry. How do we become name changers? Well, one thing I can suggest from this text is men and fathers, whoever you are today, you have to get your name changed first. If you read the context of Jacob's life, Jacob had a heck of an experience way back in Genesis chapter 32. All his life, he was Jacob get over. Jacob take advantage. Jacob the heel snatcher, always trying to do what he could to do his own thing. But he finally came to a point in his life where God, he finally yielded himself to God and said, you God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are my God. And he got to a point where he found he had to hook up with his brother again, and he didn't know whether his brother's going to still kill him or not. So he had a little tricky stuff to him. He tried to, you know, send some money and stuff ahead of time to kind of cool his brother out. You got to read the text. But it says that he sent everything he had over, and then that night before he was due to go meet his brother, a man wrestled with him all night long. Wrestling and fighting. And then when the morning came, because there was still a draw in the battle, the man said to him, dude, it's morning time. Let me go. Jacob said, I ain't going to let you go. And this man took his finger and stuck it in his hip bone, and he must have dislodged the hip or shrunk up the muscle tissue around the hip so that now Jacob went down and he couldn't fight anymore. But then something dawned on Jacob. He said, ain't nobody got no touches like that. Now, there ain't no move like that. We've been at this thing all night. I done hit him. He done hit me. What kind of move is this that he just stick a finger on my hip and now I got osteoporosis of the hip? Can't move. Wait, this ain't no regular man. This must be God. And he said, no, you can't go nowhere. You got to bless me. You know how the Lord blessed him? He said, well, what is your name? And Jacob asked him, what is your name? He said, now, ain't none of your business. You can't even handle my name. My name is too wonderful for you to deal with. I tell you what, though, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. I'm tricky. I'm a heel grab. He said, no, I'm going to change your name. Your name now is going to be Israel, he who wrestles with God. You've been wrestling with yourself and with other people all your life, but today you finally got it through your head that your arms are too short to box with God. And now you've got it right. You've got a relationship with God. I've changed your name. And once your name gets changed, once you come to God, once you have a right relationship with God, then you can go around and help somebody else. Jacob became a name changer because his name got changed first. Then you got to share what you know. Listen, it ain't no harm to have a limp. A lot of us have limps. Something that's left of a residue of who we were before we came to know God. The older generation tried to hide all the limps. But the limps now are too pronounced to hide. But it's good news. If God delivered you through a limp, thank God. You may not be what you want to be, but you ain't what you used to be. Anybody here got a limp? I meant some folk who did drugs all their life, but they came to the Lord. Now they got some residue left of it and some stuff left from what happened. And it's all right. Every now and then, one of a good dear friend of mine, and she would, we'd be talking to her, and all of a sudden she'd go, oh, I'm back now. That was all right. She said, oh, the Lord is good. Whoa, I'm glad he delivered me from that. Man, I was, you know what I'm saying? Every time they saw Jacob walking, coming toward him, they say, there go Daddy Jacob. You know how he got that limp? He wrestled with God, and God changed his heart. Some of y'all ashamed. Don't be ashamed of where you come from, what God has brought you through. You ain't got to tell all your business, but sometimes give a testimony. Somebody else needs to hear that God can bring you through. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God changes names. God also changes the order of names. Some people, you ain't supposed to be nothing. Listen, God changed the order of the names. Esau was first, but God really chose Jacob. Y'all remember Manasseh and Ephraim, the seeds of Jacob, of Joseph? You know, Manasseh was first. But when Jacob got there and got to bless the boys, Joseph brought him up, the oldest on the right side and the youngest on the left side, so that he could give the birthright to the oldest. And you're right, Pastor. Jacob said he did this. And it said Joseph, God said, no, daddy, I know you're old and you're blind. Let me fix your hands right. He put them back. Jacob said, I know what I'm doing. You see, sometimes God shifts the position of name. Sometimes the younger comes up over the oldest. God is able to shift positions. People who weren't supposed to be nothing, God decides they're going to be something. People who were laughed at. David, the youngest, he wasn't supposed to be nobody, but God anointed him with oil. There's somebody in here today. You ain't supposed to be nothing. Somebody told you wasn't going to be nothing. You ain't thinking about being nothing. But God is shifting. God is shifting. All right, I'm going to get out. We need to be some name changers, though. Men, we got a job to do. Fathers, you got a job. Do the best you can. I know we got dysfunctional families. Some stuff is broken up and all that kind of stuff. But do the best you can. And in the church, we need to do it. I was there. You know, my daddy died when I was 14 months old. And he was good. Man, he left the house and stuff like that. He took care of his stuff. And today, I feel better about myself because when people spoke about him, they speak positively. He couldn't help it. That was his path. But he did what he could while he was alive to set things up. And, you know, families break up, stuff like that. But men, fathers, do the best you can. And women, listen, you got to let fathers be fathers. I mean, what goes on between you and daddy? Don't let that affect the kids. And I'm so glad coming up in a female-led home, I don't know what kind of issues my mom and grandmama and sisters had with men. I know they had them, but they ain't never tried to make me feel bad because I was a dude in the house. You know, you got to watch what you say to these young men and say to the kids. I watch people walking down the street. Come on over here, you so-and-so. You just like you're no good so far. If you want them to be better, don't tell them how bad. Name them something else. Name them something. Change the name. And let me go to my seat today, Pastor, with this. You know, this text points us right to Jesus Christ. Benjamin. Who is the ultimate Benjamin? Who is the ultimate son of the right hand? It's Jesus Christ himself. And who is it? Jacob, after he wrestled, he named that place where he wrestled Peniel, which means God's face. And who is God's face? Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is God with a face. And so if you're going to get your name changed, you got to come to God through Jesus. It's him who changes our names. And Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you know why I'm a Christian? Because ain't nobody else got what we got. We have the man, Christ Jesus, who needs no name change. Do you realize? His name is not changed. His name is given, but it's not changed. Sometimes, and I know we preach it this way, and sometimes it's our fault, we think like Jesus died, and then he rose again, and now he went to the right hand of the Father. Do you realize? He didn't get there. He didn't go there later. He came from there to start with. He was already at the right hand of the Father. When he prayed in John 17, he said, Lord, I just want to get back to where I was. He came. His name didn't change. That's who he always was. He didn't become the Son of God when he came down here. He was always in the triune Godhead, the Son, the eternally begotten Son of God. That's a title. That's a position of favor. He came into the world as the Son of God. He came into the world as the Son of Man. He came into the world as a Redeemer. He came into the world as the perfect sacrifice. Whoever he was before the world was, he came into the world as just that. We don't add nothing to him. He didn't become bread. He was bread when he came into the world. That's why God gave manna to start, because it pointed back to the Son. He was water when he came into the world. He was light when he came into the world. He don't need no name change. He's perfect, complete. Nothing else is added to him. We don't make him nothing. He doesn't become nothing. Even when he died on the cross, he was all of who he was that he had ever been. That's why he was able to pay for our sins. That's why he was able to get up from the grave, because he always is who he is. But thank God today that he is the one who can change names. There's a new name written down in glory. Has God changed your name? I'm telling you, God will do it. That's why I came to him. You come to him. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he changed my name from sad to glad. He changed my name from lost to found. He found my changed my name from down to up. He changed my name from sinner to saint. He changed my name from out to in. He changed my name from ridiculous to redeemed. He changes your name. He changes your name from a player to somebody who plays on a different team. He gives you a new song, a new start. He will change your name. And even when the devil stands up, even after you say it sometimes, I say, look at them, just as jacked up as they ever were, Lord. He says, but my name is on them. I died for them. He raises up pierced hands. He says, I've changed their name. They're not who they used to be. They're now in me. They're different. He changes your name from the past and gives you a bright future. He's a name changer, I tell you. Has anybody's name here been changed? Do you know what your name is now? Some of us have our heads held down because we're still thinking that we were and are who we were before the Lord. Every now and then you ought to just thank God for a name change. I don't care what they say about me. I know who I am. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood, dug up by the plowshares of the gospel. I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm walking in the victory of a risen Savior. I've got a home not made by hand. My citizenship has been changed. Thank God for a name change. All right, I'm out of here. We got to go. But thank God today he'll change your name. And I pray if there's anybody in here today that's head is down, so somebody has told you you're nothing, you're nobody, you're going nowhere, come to Jesus. He changes things. He changes lives. He changes destinies. He will do things that nobody else can do for you. I ran into another person I remember, and it helped me to understand the conditions even of our churches. A young lady has said that she remembered growing up that her grandmother would look at her and call her name sometimes because she was darker skinned in the family. Grandma was kind of light, you see. And we have this amongst us. And my grandma, she never called me nothing per se. She called me what she called terms of endearment. She called me waterhead. Sometimes she called me, you chap. She laughed. I didn't know what that was, Jap. But in World War II, that was a negative name. You know? But I remember sometimes grandma would call me over and she'd say, come here, boy. And she grabbed my nose. And she starts trying to straighten it. She said, you got a pug nose. I didn't even know what that was. But in that generation, you know, they were trying to make the best they could. But the color of their skin and the certain black features were negatives. And so they were trying to, you know, some of us are still struggling with things that people have put on us. But the Lord can change it. He can heal us where we need healing, you know. And so I pray today if there's anybody here that's in that mode. And Pastor, you can come and give the invitation or whoever you've assigned, and you can, but I thank you today for allowing me to come and just talk with you for a little while. And men, happy Father's Day to you. Do you mentor anybody? Let's go out there and change some names. God bless you.
Shall we all stand? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your manservant. We thank you for his transparency and his boldness in sharing the gospel with us, not only with those gathered here in the sanctuary, but those that are joining us online over the internet. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth and reaches deep into the soul, into the inner beings of those that were listening and tuning in, God, if any of us need our names changed, it is all of us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move on us and in us and through us. Father, we ask that you would stir up the people of God. If anyone needs you, Lord, it is us. It is us, the people of God, the children of God. It is the sinners, the lost, the forsaken, the cast down, the downtrodden. Lord, lift us up. Set our feet on solid ground. Change our name. Change our future. Change our destiny. So if you're here today, you're listening in, if you're tuning in, and you would like your name changed, if you would like God, if you would like Christ to change your name, cause your future, your destiny, your place in Him, reach out today. Stretch out your hand to God. Say, Lord, I want my name changed. Lord, I want my destiny changed. I want my future changed. Not only do I want my future changed, but I want to change the future of someone else by becoming a name changer. Accept Christ today. He's the one. He's able to change your name, to change the names of others for whom He will call you to. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we adore you. And we give you the highest praise. Come on, everybody, everywhere. Come on, let's give hands. Come on, put our hands together. Come on, let's thank God. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for a new name. Thank you for a new destiny. Thank you for a new future. Oh, bless your name. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. God bless you, Dr. Elo. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you. Thank you that we serve a God that changes names. So we bless you. What a wonderful word of God. We love Dr. Edlow. We love his mannerism, his style. Oh, my goodness. He's a true fashion plate. Bart, hey, Bart, take that stuff off my desk for him. He never went in there, but all that's for him. Just gather it up and take it with him and put it in your car or wherever you parked it. He's looking for it now. But take all of that with him. God bless you. What a wonderful God. And I want, before he goes, I want to say this. I want to thank him for coming, because it's no small task for a pastor to leave their own church to come and aid another pastor on another Sunday because of their own responsibility. But what a man of God to leave his church to come. So, you know, I'm going to help Pastor Ford while he's recovering, recouping. Come on, let's bless him. Will you do that for me? He didn't have to come. Thank God for him. Thank God for you, Taylor, for sitting and listening so attentively to him. And at this time, the First Lady is coming with our announcements and our offering.
Amen. Amen. I thoroughly enjoyed our speaker for this morning. So I let the pastor know that I didn't get my list of announcements, and he told me mine was the only announcement. So hopefully we'll be short, but I do have an announcement. Pastor, was I supposed to get the directions also for offering? Okay. Excuse us, sorry. I know, but I'm still looking for them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll start out with our announcements. First, I do want to say Happy Father's Day to all of those who are fathers.
Come on.
And to those who serve as father figures. That is no small task, especially in today's world, in the world we live in. That is no small task. My dad is more than likely watching, so if you'll excuse me, I'm going to say Happy Father's Day, Daddy. I always tell Jonathan, my first and biggest or most significant sign of God's perfect grace was being born as the daughter of Charles Samuels and Mildred Samuels. So thank you so much. It truly, truly, truly is something that has blessed me from day one on. I also want to say Happy Father's Day to my husband and your pastor, Jonathan E. Ford. I may have said this before, but truly I don't say it often enough. What you see with him is what you get. And if you didn't know it, you know it now. He is an excellent and very present father, and I thank you for that. So with that, I do want to go ahead and into our announcements. That was just a little extra. I threw in, I had to say Happy Father's Day. So summer has arrived, and not only are we excited at Taylor Tabernacle, we are excited at Turning the Tide. Many of you know, and those of you who don't know who are listening, Turning the Tide is a separately run nonprofit that has an assortment of services that are intended to provide a bridge or a source of encouragement and uplifting to the underserved communities within Philadelphia. So we are excited at Turning the Tide as well that it's summer. And to kick off the summer, next Sunday, no short notice, but next Sunday, Turning the Tide will be hosting a Life and Liberty Juneteenth celebration. We've had partners, and I'm a member of other organizations that had Juneteenth celebrations this weekend because June 19th, or is it June 18th, or officially it's 19th, June 19th, which is today, is officially Juneteenth. And so we're going to have our own Juneteenth celebration, but next week, it's still June, I'm going to be honest and say all year is a time to celebrate Juneteenth, okay? Juneteenth is just now being acknowledged as the second Independence Day is what I've heard it called. And truly, it is America's second Independence Day, but for African Americans who were enslaved in this country, it was our first Independence Day. Juneteenth, unfortunately, also marks 2.5 years after the official Emancipation Proclamation is when the last group of enslaved persons in this country were finally notified that they were free. So I am delighted that this is an opportunity. This is a time when most Americans, just not just those in the South who have always celebrated Juneteenth, but all of America now is learning about Juneteenth and its significance to not only African Americans, but to all Americans. So next week, we will have some information about Juneteenth, but more than that, it is a time to start, kick off the summer with some food and some fun and information. Next week's Life and Liberty celebration truly is a celebration of life, both now, past, and future, as well as liberty and what it's meant. It is going to be sponsored, it's hosted by Turning the Tide, but it's sponsored by the Love Your Neighbor campaign. I've talked about the Love Your Neighbor campaign in the past. It is a partnership between Turning the Tide and Bethel AME Church of Ardmore, who, by the way, had their Juneteenth celebration yesterday. I think many of you were notified about that. We have been tasked with the huge responsibility of providing COVID-19 resources to our community, letting them know about clinics, letting them know about where they can get tested, providing PPE, personal protection equipment, and the such. So this is sponsored by the Love Your Neighbor campaign. But all that means is that you're going to get some additional information. There'll be additional resources, a table during that celebration, additional resources which will provide COVID-19 resource packet, little goodie packet that will include a self-testing kit or several self-testing kits, which means you don't have to go if you think you have COVID-19 and you want to be sure, you don't have to go and pay $10, $15, $20 at the CVS or Rite Aid. We're going to provide you with an additional packet so you have that in your possession, as well as some additional PPE information. But that'll just be one table, one resource, which we definitely want to make sure you have. The Life and Liberty Juneteenth celebration will be from noon to 3 o'clock, which for us here means it's just right after church. We will have a food truck, so nobody, I'm not putting anybody to work. Normally I put everybody to work. Nobody here is being put to work. We actually are having a food truck, a professional food services, which is actually, I think, can I say that, Anita? The sister of our sister Anita Butler. She is graciously agreed to work on a Sunday, bringing her truck, parking it out here. She will have hot food, beverages, and water ice available for free for everyone. Okay, for everyone. And I'm making sure during the week, all week, we're getting the word out to our neighbors so they know they can stop by. There will be plenty for everyone. We will have music. We will have some fun activities. We will have raffles and giving away little gift cards as prizes. We will have the garden open to get a garden tour. No garden working. I'm not putting anybody to work, remember. But it's a garden tour of all that's going on and being planned. Harvest will probably begin with things being ready to be picked probably within the next few weeks. And so if you want to know what's going on out there and how you can, you know, participate or just be more informed about what's going on in the garden, that'll be a great opportunity. And again, like I said, there will also be a COVID-19 resource packet, which is available to everyone. Next Sunday at the Life and Liberty Juneteenth celebration, we will also be kicking off our youth summer reading program, which is going to be hopefully more fun than work for the kids. We will have huge bins filled with new or gently used books of all age groups. They will be available for our pre-readers, for our young students who are grades like 1 to 4, I think it is, for our middle schoolers and for our young adults and adults. We will have crates free because these are resources that have been donated to us over the past few months in anticipation for our summer programming. We will, I will announce more details about it, but it will involve kids logging on for some fun literacy activities once a week, and it will be in the evenings, early evening. So I'm hoping that not only the kids in the community who are starting to sign up already, but some of our very own will sign up. Okay, this is an opportunity for parents to allow their students to remain engaged academically, but in a fun way, so that when they start school, they don't have this huge learning loss, which typically happens during the summer. That's the purpose of this program. So that's, again, next week, the Life and Liberty celebration. Please get the word out. You will get some announcements and reminders via email and voicemail this week from noon to 3. We are very much looking forward to having you and hosting you. It will be a fun event. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. With that said, since that was the only and the last announcement, I'm going to transition into offering.
Amen.
Amen. So we have heard the word. We have been blessed mightily, and at this time, we will gather to continue worshiping, but through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Service. To give by text, you can text the code TAYLOR61, TAYLOR61, to the phone number 732-56. That's 732-56, and you will receive a link with additional instructions. To give through our website, please please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. And then lastly, to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. For those who are gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of this ministry. So now that offering is done and announcements are done, I'm going to call up the pastor to close us out. Amen?
Yeah. Shall we all stand? Again, thank God for all of you being out on Father's Day. I know I want to say thank you to all of you. I was expressing my appreciation for Dr. Edlow and his willingness to come and fill in for us in the pulpit ministry. I also want to express my appreciation for you, for so many of you who did find out that I was ill and under the weather. Thanks so much for your cards, your letters, your texts. Thanks so much to our ministry team for keeping the ministry going, even in my absence. So really, really appreciate all of you and all that you have done. I just want to note, after I give the benediction, I'm going to be standing here in the receiving line, and I have a Father's Day gift card for all of the men who are here today. Amen. So we want to honor our men, our fathers. I'm going to ask that you come through the receiving line. I also have, from Mother's Day, for any of the women that did not get a perfume box on Mother's Day, we have those available as well. So if you come through the receiving line, hopefully you'll be blessed one way or the other. Amen. Come on, shall we look to heaven? Father, we thank you. Thank you for this is the Lord's Day. And we thank you that you have created us to live and to be a part of it. We honor you. We praise you. We adore you. And we love your son and we lift high his name. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Father's Day.